The Womanity Project. Let's talk about gender. Genders. Gender? Gender equality. Hello everyone and welcome to the Womanity Project live. I am Aurélie Harp.
And I'm Celine Rosenthal, and you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn.
So, the third presidential debate. No, we're not going to talk about it. Instead, in the next few weeks, we're going to have a conversation about women and gender equality in sports. And today we will talk about fencing.
En garde. Fencing is based on the traditional skills of sword fighting. Supposedly, the shift towards sport rather than military training happened when a man named Domenico Angelo established a fencing academy in London in 1763 and began teaching the aristocracy the fashionable art of swordsmanship. From there, the sport grew and evolved.
What? It's not French? Sacre bleu!
Not entirely.
In fact, competitive fencing is one of five activities which have been featured in modern Olympic games.
In every single one of the modern Olympic games.
Yay!
And a few weeks ago, we interviewed Alexandra Tanous, a fencing student champion, and now completing her master's in sports management.
So let's hear more about what Alex has to say and get into her fencing world.
My name is Alexandra Tanous. I am a graduate student at St. John's University with a graduate assistantship in the athlete development program. Was a previous student athlete there in my undergraduate, and now pursuing sports management master's. So what I went to college for specifically was fencing. That is what I did the best in, and pursued my four-year NCAA career there. My last name is Tanous, so it's Lebanese with Greek descent somewhere along those lines. And my first name, Alexandra, my mom chose it because it means protector and defender of mankind.
How appropriate for a fencer.
Right, that's what I said later on. I was like, this was on purpose. Totally on purpose.
That's brilliant. Okay, how did you start fencing?
I was, around like 10 or 11. And I believe my mom put me in summer camp to get rid of me for the summer. And classic mom being busy story. And I picked it up, and little did she know that she's going to end up investing a lot more money into it. flash forward like 10 years after, I'm doing like national, international tournaments. And it's become like a worthwhile investment, I'd say.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, I mean, because most of our listeners probably don't know anything about fencing.
Mm-hmm.
There are different swords, correct?
Yes.
What are the different swords?
So there is a foil épée saber. Each weapon has a different target area. And
what does that mean, a target area?
Target area as in what is counts as a point. So a foil will be strictly torso, no arms, no head, no legs.
Mm-hmm.
Saber is torso up, so anything from your hips to your head, including the arms, and épée is full body.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then each one has a little different rules in terms of speed and pace. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
And which one do you fence?
I'm saber. I'm quick pace and then torso up, more of a slashing motion. Yeah.
How did you choose that?
Believe it or not, a lot of people choose their weapon based on personality and also on body type. So
Ooh.
Sabers tend to be small but strong athletic builds.
Uh-huh.
Foils tend to be a lot more petite and finesse, little smaller movements. And épée tend to be a lot larger, lankier people, a lot more target space, a lot more reach than other weapons need to be.
Tell me about, like, the first time that you had a sword in your hand.
Ooh, it was very awkward. It was definitely, it was in summer camp, and I didn't really know what to do with it. I didn't know how to hold it. I was doing it all wrong. And I started off with foil, which is what everyone pretty much started off with. It's like a basic.
Uh-huh.
And, month later, they asked me to try saber, and it came just so much more natural to me
mm-hmm.
that I made the official transition with my coaches to the other weapon.
Awesome. Now, there's one.
And what about the gear? Are there any differences between women and men?
Well, it's just a lot of money in a bag. I mean, if you're going to let kids run around with the swords, you got to keep them safe. So a lot of it's super thick pants. So it's very thick layered pants, all white. It's the classic look. Tall white socks, what they call knickers in England, but
okay.
We call them fencing pants. It's a little different. A jacket, long sleeve with the asymmetrical zip across the chest, and it changes if you're a righty or a lefty, depending. Then you have your mask. It's a full metal mesh mask.
Is there a difference between a women's uniform and a men's uniform?
The women's have an extra piece. It's called a chest plate, and it's a plastic, basically a plastic bra that you just Velcro on, mandatory for all women. You don't have an option for it.
Right. Yeah. What is that like to move in something like that?
Very hot at first, super hot at first. But then after a while, the heat that builds up under those uniforms kind of melts the plastic to you. It works, ends up feeling great at the end. So it's like a custom bra. They do make flat ones, yeah. It's optional for boys. They have flat ones if boys want to wear it. But if you're young enough, they have flat ones. And they also have like individual little cups you can just slide into little little pockets inside the jacket.
What's the training regime like? What's the lifestyle like?
So an amateur fencer would typically take two group classes a week, maybe some extra fun bouting.
So a bout, what is a bout?
A bout is a match. Okay. So typically 5 points in our initial rounds and then 15 points in the direct eliminations. Okay. For saber, it's strictly up to the 5 or 15 points. And the other two weapons, it's 3-minute periods. So if you don't get all your points in 3 minutes, it's whoever has the most points at the end of those 3 minutes that just wins.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So no more fighting to the death then?
No. We've evolved since 1700s. And then as you progress, and if you say you want to get into competitions, you start getting private lessons. Okay. So these are one-on-ones with your coach directly. An international fencer or a Division I collegiate fencer is taking 3 to 5 lessons a week, 3 group classes, and then 4 nights of open bouting. So you're probably spending 20 to 25 hours a week fencing.
Wow.
Yeah. I would say in the past 10 years, it's gone from people having a bad mindset about saying, you don't want to get too bulky, you don't want to have too much muscle mass, it'll slow you down, to now saying, no, you need to lift, you need to condition, it's going to make you stronger, faster, X, Y, Z. Yeah, so now it's a big part of it.
Which way do you think?
I am definitely on the weight, train, cardio, overall body health, mind, you know, do your mental exercises, do your yoga, do your running, you know, it can't be all about fencing.
What about competition?
So you start off as a U fencer, as is unrated, and you hope, you know, within the next 3-4 years, you earn your way up to an A rating. As you earn your ratings up, you earn the right to go to national competitions. Once you make your way to a national competition, it's early mornings and long days. You wake up around 7:30, 8 a.m., whatever your start time is. Get there, usually you need an hour to warm up. You warm up for that hour, and then you start your bouting. So it's they have a preceding. So say there's 56 people. 56 people get put up into a list, the A's on top, all the way down, as to, you know, the best fencer to the weakest fencer. They get divided into pools of usually 5, 6, 7. The pools compete a round robin style. Everyone competes against each other. At the end of the pools, everyone's new ranking after the first round gets posted on a list, same as the first round. And then from there, go into direct elimination. So if it's 56 people, whatever is going to get cut to make a tableau of 32. Okay. The 32 will advance into a table, and they will compete their way to the gold medal match.
How much time do you actually spend fencing?
Like, a lot of waiting. There is a lot of waiting. Maybe overall fencing, you're doing it for an hour, but you're there for maybe 8 hours. Men's epee competitions would be 230 people. Women's saber, we only have like 62.
Oh, wow. That's a really big difference.
Right. So it takes us a lot quicker. We're a quicker sport. We can go through a lot faster. They're there all day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, they order in their food and we're just like, see you at dinner.
I was going to say, like, what do you do in the downtime?
You're trying to stay mentally, like, calm and relaxed and not overthinking anything because you're seeing friends and you're seeing your coach and, you know, in the meantime, like, I know what I always did was I played games on my phone. I was listening to music. I was goofing off. I was never a serious athlete. Like, I took things seriously, but to be honest, I was playing Sudoku and whatever else I could possibly be doing in the downtime.
Alex mentioned previously that women and men don't fence together. We asked her why.
Good question. There are what they call you know, open tournaments, which is men and women competing together, mm-hmm. but they don't count towards your ranking or towards anything. They're just kind of like a fun thing you can just sign up to do, kind of like a 5K race on a Sunday afternoon. It's really not meaningful to be divided. I mean, in practice, we're doing the same drills, we're doing the same techniques. There may be one or two things that the coach may do specifically with the boys that he doesn't do with the girls.
Like what?
Usually a lot of like flying lunging techniques or like, you know, complicated parry riposte, which are like blocks, you know, something you have to go backwards or, and he just doesn't, I think he does that just because a lot of girls aren't willing to try it. Some of us do love to try it. Like some of us, you know, athletes are girls who are just outgoing and like to be with the boys and whatever, we don't care. Uh-huh. And I think others are just shy to make a fool of themselves and, or maybe feel as if, you know, the boys in fencing, you know, they tend to know that they're a little bit stronger and faster in certain aspects. But the girls have a lot more finesse. So if they come at a girl a lot faster and aggressively, we can kind of scoot away and maybe get a point here or there. Uh-huh. But there are things that they will just block us out, like our strength of our arm. Like there's, you know, if you're going to attack a guy, the likelihood of him being able to block you forcefully is a lot higher than a girl. That is the basic thing of an I'm just a guy stronger. I mean, there are plenty of boys that I could beat. You know, I might just lift a couple more weights than them. It's just, it's, you know, it's... It,
I totally want to ask, like, which of the boys did you beat?
I won't rat anybody out. No, no name dropping. Except for... Well, no, I'm just kidding.
Is that a thing? I would wonder, like, especially with teenage boys.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like a pride thing if they get, like, beaten by a girl?
Oh, yeah. Big time. They don't like it.
They don't like it.
They do not like it. No way. No, that's why... It's a little tough sometimes. They don't like being beaten. But at the same time... Fencing is such a sport of respect that, you know, at the end, you're still going to shake the hand and still going to say good match and, you know, I'll get you next time. Yeah.
Was there any dating, like, within the fencing clubs that you experienced?
Oh, a ton.
Is that, like, strictly taboo? Oh, really?
A ton. It's almost expected at this point.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think it's because you spend so much time with the other person and you're spending so much time at practice and, you know, if you're dating someone outside of the fencing world, it's really hard for them to understand how much time you are fencing, you are traveling, you're not around. Mm-hmm. You know, Saturday mornings, Friday nights, you're at the fencing club. And those are times people usually would go to the movies or go out to dinner, and you're just not going to do that. So a lot of the times, fencers do end up dating each other. And just this year, I think two of my friends got engaged and married two of my old teammates back in college.
Aww.
Yeah. So it's expected at this point.
My God, have you ever dated somebody who you were in the fencing team with?
Actually, no.
Wow, sorry, yeah. I was going to ask.
Actually,
what?
No.
I was going to be like, what's it like to, like, fence, like, basically attack somebody with a weapon who you're supposed to be dating?
Oh, God, I kind of wish, but it never happened. Oh, well. No, I dated my boyfriend, actually, a baseball player at my university. Was an ex-baseball player. So different sport, and, you know, we can kind of do our own thing, and it was good in that sense. It's nice. Good in that sense, yeah.
Or at least both athletes, though, both understanding.
Both understand the commitment, exactly.
Nice, awesome. Yeah.
We're going to take a little break, and in the meantime, we'll leave you with one of Alex Parra's song, Army by Elise Goulding.
Know that I've been messed up, you never let me give up. All the nights and the fights and the blood and the breakups, you're always there to call up. I'm a pain, I'm a child, I'm afraid, but yeah, you understand, yeah, like no one can. I know that we don't look like much, but no one fucks it up like us. 16, and you never even judged me. Matter of fact, always thought you were too cool for me. Sitting there in the caravan, all the nights we've been drunk on the floor, but yeah, you understand, yeah. We both know what they say about us, but they don't stand a chance because when I'm with you, when I'm with you, I'm standing with an army, I'm standing with an army. When I'm with you, when I'm with you, I'm standing with an army, I'm standing with an army. You would sacrifice just to be there for me. How you cringe when you sing out of tune, but
chance because when I'm with you.
Should have seen Celine and I dancing in the studio.
Rocking it out.
You're listening to The Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Next, Alex answered our Womanity Project questionnaire. Let's hear what she has to say.
What gender do you identify with?
As in, I consider myself as female?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. There you go. That's it.
Yeah.
What about you do you think defines you as a female?
Well, first, my anatomy. Mm-hmm. Anatomy is a huge part of it. Also, there's... I'm a Leo, astrology-wise. I'm a Leo, and I'm a power sign. I'm dominated by the sun. And there's something just, like, so powerful, I find, about women, you know, being the givers of life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of, like, changing the world. We're so much more influential than we think we are. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of... proud to be a woman. I would rather be a woman than a man any day of the week.
Nice. So can you ever remember a specific instance in your life where you were particularly glad to be a woman as opposed to a man?
Ooh. It was definitely in school. And I think it was around fifth grade when there was a bunch of boys being really stupid and bullying girls and just being so mean and like, I mean, it's fifth grade. Of course, they're little rugrats. But I remember I was a girl and I was a tomboy, very big tomboy, you know, matching sweatsuit pants and hair in a ponytail. And I remember standing up to the boys and just like being able to play sports with them and telling them that they were dumb and playing in the dirt. But then even though they didn't consider me cool, I was still getting, like, better grades and, you know, still a sport. And I was like, heck yeah.
That's fantastic. So conversely, was there ever a specific instance where you were not so happy to be female as opposed to something else?
Every month, once a month.
Oh my God, I never even asked, like, what's it like to have to fence and, like, compete in a sport when you're on your period?
It's horrible. Leave.
Oh my God.
Leave. Sometimes you will lose on purpose just to go home.
Oh really?
Oh yeah. I'm over this. Let's go.
Oh my God. And also because everything you're wearing is white.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't even imagine, like, the stress of having to...
There's been plenty of girls in the bathroom, like, washing out their pants. Yeah. It's a horror story, but
Well, because those pants are expensive. You can't just, like, get a new pair.
No.
So, like, what do you do if you get blood on them?
Well, there's white, so it's Clorox.
So, like, Clorox.
You can bleach anything.
Okay.
And usually you have a spare pair. Cool. Or you wear these underneath there. You get hot, but, I mean, you wear them.
Just
protection.
My God. I didn't
even... It happens, though. It does happen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Who do you consider your strongest female influence?
Ooh. I say a lot of the Greek gods, to be honest. I love their history and, you know, the dominance of women back in that era. Mm-hmm. How men looked at women as, you know, so powerful. What other woman was so... Wilfred's mom. You know, to me, she's one of the strongest, most intelligent, put together women I know. And she's quiet. She's humble. You don't know things like that. So real people like that, to me, are way more. So I would never say a political figure or like, I would never say like a Kardashian or something. So to me, those are celebrities that are unattainable, unreachable, unrealistic, don't deal with real human life issues every day. So someone like her, you know what, even Angelina Jolie, who does a lot of work, and even though she has a celebrity status, you don't feel as if she's taking advantage of her celebrity. She's using it towards better purposes. So people like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And is there a woman that you would like to thank?
My grandmother, on my dad's side.
Mm-hmm. What's her name?
Salwa. It's a Lebanese name, so it doesn't really translate to English,
okay. But
it'd be Salwa. You know, she had tons of kids. She was dirt poor, living in a bomb shelter home in Lebanon, the mountains of Lebanon.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, even though she had tons of kids, you know, she taught
tons
them.
Tons of kids, like how many?
Well, my dad's one of eight, so.
Wow. Okay, so she had eight kids.
She had eight kids.
Bomb shelter.
Bomb shelter house, yeah. A kitchen the size of a closet, but the best food came out of that place. It was amazing. And she taught me. I spent a lot of time with her growing up because my parents were really busy and I was just with her. And she taught me so many things. She taught me Arabic. I would have never spoken Arabic if it wasn't for her.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, and then her kids came to America, became successful. And that would have never happened, you know, if she wasn't like a strong woman. You know,
yeah.
That takes a lot, you know, for a woman to feed 10 mouths, including herself.
Wow. 8 kids in a bomb shelter?
I can't even imagine.
That's crazy. Alex, what you said about the influence, about the fact that it should be a real person instead of a political woman or celebrity.
Well, celebrity, you know. Absolutely. And, you know, a special shout out to Celeste Curioso, who is Wilfred's mom. She was one of, you know, the community that the kids had around the Rhode Island Fencing Academy, which I think I'm wearing their sweatshirt today, was really strong. And the women who were kind of the fencing moms in that group were really impressive, intelligent, poised women who all had a career. I mean, Mrs. Curioso, she's a doctor. So Dr. Curioso, sorry, Celeste. You know, and they really, you know, did a great job, I think, raising a team of respectful, kind of wonderful kids.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, props to all of them.
So it's time to wrap up, unfortunately. You've been listening to The Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn, and we have a question for you this week. Do you think sports should be gendered?
Indeed. And who knows? So we're very curious to hear what you think on this topic. You know, do you think that sports should be divided into a men's team and a female team, or do you think that we should be all put together? So you can respond on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Go for it. Show us a photo journal of what you think about this question at Womanity Project. You can support us and sponsor us on our page, radiofreebrooklyn.com/show/the-womanity-project. Special thanks to Alex Tanous,
yay,
Lizzie Hagstedt, and yay, of course, Radio Free Brooklyn.
Tune in next week, The Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time.
And, dear listeners, we'll be airing another one of Alex's Power Songs today. This is The Ocean by Mike Perry.
Bye, tout le monde.
Au revoir, tout le monde. À la semaine prochaine.
Yay!
You can be my guiding light. Keep me company in the night. That's all I need. All I want is for you to stay a little longer.